Blog Talk Radio.
Tom Stoup, you're a very smart man for retiring from this podcast before the airing of this episode of NXT 2.0. Guys, I'm Nate Lindberg, and if that intro didn't give you a glimpse into what I thought of tonight's show, then, well, I guess buckle up, because we're in for a ride. Riding shotgun with me is a regular on PW Torch Audio and one half of the Doctor's Idiots alongside Kevin Catani, which, Kevin, thanks for jumping on the VIP roundtable with Tom and I the other day for Stand and Deliver. But he's one half of the Doctor Idiots, and that's Bruce Hazelwood.
Thanks for having me on, Nate. And I guess it's a good time to announce that with Tom now gone, I will be taking his spot every Tuesday night here after on the post show after NXT goes off the air. So you'll be getting more of me, not just with my written reports every Tuesday night, but also on this show every Tuesday.
And usually you'll get Kelly with us too, but Kelly wasn't here tonight, but for a very good reason. So you get the two of us, you're stuck with the two of us. And I don't know, I'm not in a very positive mood after this episode of NXT. I was kind of vocal about that on Twitter too. And I'm not very vocal on Twitter very often. But wow. Yeah, that was, this was an episode of NXT.
That it was.
I'm certainly giving it a thumbs down pretty much all around. I haven't actually gotten a chance to post the hits and misses yet, which I typically try to do before we start recording the show. But a glimpse into the hits and misses for the first time ever isn't a single solitary clean hit. I've given out a couple like small, like lukewarm hits, but for the first time ever, I couldn't give anything a hit on this show. So let's get into the main event of the night, shall we? We had Gunther versus Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship, which Bron Breakker won on Raw. So I want to also talk about that. We're going to talk about that and tie that into the main event, because I know at least Bruce, you and I, and I think Tom, maybe Kelly was even chiming in on what was going on Raw. But it just so happened last night, I tuned into Raw. I wasn't planning on it. I did. And as I turned on my TV, the match between Dolph Ziggler and Bron Breakker was like about to start. The bell was about to ring. And I'm like, what is going on right here? So I watched the match, which was a good match, but I'm like, well, I couldn't figure out what the point of having Bron Breakker win the title after he lost after Ziggler retained it, Stand and Deliver. It was really strange booking, right? And that's going to kind of, I think, be a theme, at least for me right now, unless they've got a big reset coming here, which maybe kind of feels like it is.
Look, I understand in the micro, the very, very, very micro sense of one episode, the Raw After Mania, why you had that happen, because you want all the people to watch. However, in my opinion, if this was just going to be the end result anyway, you might as well have just had Breakker win on Saturday and then have a successful title defense in front of all those people on last night to really put him over as a strong NXT champion, then have him beat Ziggler, who in the match told him, welcome to the big leagues, which if Raw is the big leagues, what does that mean NXT is, which is the title that you were holding at the time, Dolph? So there's just the booking all around, not just in this whole NXT championship, the last 4 days, there have been three NXT championship matches. So just put that into perspective. But
yeah,
booking in general has just been tonight from Saturday. Just tonight made a lot of the decisions on Saturday seem really dumb.
Yeah, in retrospect, absolutely. And I think like you hit the nail on the head. If like Bron Breakker should have, if he was going to win the title, they wanted to put the title on him anyway. I guess maybe having him win it on a bigger stage in their mind, like on Raw, was, you know, more eyes on Bron Breakker or something like that. It's like maybe a test before he goes to the main roster or something. I can see like maybe that kind of a mindset, but at the same time, you know, he's not going to get that big of a reaction at Raw. nobody necessarily knows who Bron Breakker is. He's been on Raw a couple times, but like, you know, he's not going to get a good reaction in front of the crowd. However, you know, he's going to get an amazing reaction at Stand and Deliver. So get him to get that amazing reaction so you can, I mean, I guess they could always dub something if they had to, but you get him to get that amazing reaction in front of the live crowd at Stand and Deliver, WrestleMania weekend. It's a big moment. And then you put him on Raw, like you said, against Dolph Ziggler and have him retain against his former foe who that story has been going on Raw too. So it wouldn't have been like it was necessarily out of nowhere, right? And I guess that might be the thinking too on just putting the match on Raw in general, but I just feel it was such a weird, weird move, especially if this was going to be the outcome.
Look at it this way too. You could do the exact same finish you had planned for Saturday, only with Breakker retaining last night to make him overcome both of them to make him look even more strong. So
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm trying to make sense of it and digest it right now, because in the moment I don't like it, but I also, let's see what happens. Because in the moment I didn't like the rebrand of NXT 2.0 either, right? And it grew on me. I still don't like it as much as my black and gold, but I'm not going to go there right now. My point being is I'm going to give them a little bit of leeway here before, like, I just, I mean, I'm, I guess I'm going to crap all over a lot of things tonight, but I'm going to give them a little bit of leeway, a couple weeks at least, to see where these things are going. But like, wow,
So let me get to the main event specifically. It was a back and forth match, Gunther versus Breakker for the NXT title, which just came because Gunther interrupted his Breakers championship promo to start the show, which is how these most of these things happen these days, right? And a lot of chops from Gunther, and Breakker took a lot of sustained damage. The commentators really put over, his arm is hurt. He's suffering from having his third match in 4 days, not just three matches, but his third title match in 4 days. And so Gunther was working the left arm, but Breakker not only kicked out the powerbomb, he also kicked out of the big splash. And then he landed one of his finishers and pinned clean Gunther. So I understand you want to make Breakker strong, right? You want to build him as this resilient, powerful, valiant champion. Why did you just sacrifice all you guys just put into Gunther, not just in having him lose clean, but he got his finisher kicked out of, he got his second finisher kicked out of, and then he didn't even kick out of Breakker's finisher, which I tweeted, I'm just pretty much not expecting a pin after only one finisher hits these days, right? So to me, that was just kind of a shocking end to, you know, we all talked about Gunther being built up to challenge in a couple months, maybe possibly at SummerSlam, to finally take the title from someone like Dolph, who might be doing like weaselly tactics all throughout to retain. Now, you skipped months worth of steps with the wrong outcome, and you sped all that up, and this was a lose-lose situation, because now you took out the most credible contender to take off the title from Breakker eventually. And especially because the post-match angle with Joe Gacy and Harland and Rick Steiner, that could have happened while he was just giving his championship promo as the main event, for example. And that could have set him up for his next suit instead of just throwing this random hotshot match together. There's just so much here that is just negative, regardless of how good the match might have been, that I don't know if giving it the time might work out, but right now it just looks so, so short-sighted.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I completely agree. It's, you know, Gunther, at least in my opinion, too, he took a big credibility hit with the name change. He was Walter for so long. I mean, I get branding, whatever. Like, I understand why they had to do it from a business sense, I guess. But he took a credibility hit from that. Yeah, fine. They kind of still kept him strong. They built him for the last few weeks, whatever, you know, since that changed, what, few months now? But like you said, yeah, you know, he wasn't necessarily built to that point of being the monster for somebody to topple just yet. That somebody, you know, in this case being Bron Breakker, which is probably the plan you know, all along anyway, which you know, we've definitely talked about here before on the show. It's just, yeah, it is. It's baffling. And I don't like you said, the finisher thing where he kicked out at one. Sorry, you don't expect a kick out after one finisher, rather. Mm-hmm. I really was expecting Gunther to kick out at least at the end. I thought he was going to kick out. And yes, sure, shock value and things like that too has its benefits. But I agree with you. I don't think this was the time to do it. It feels like it devalued a lot of what they were doing just over the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. Yeah, so
I don't want to say that I don't mind the shock finishes. It's just after Roman Reigns got hurt and the way that match ended kind of was a bit jarring, and then having this and how it did, they need to be spaced out a bit. You just can't have these jarring. Okay, I understand Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, they kind of have to go home early because of the injuries. It just seemed weird, all of it. I just can't put my finger on what exactly is irking me so much besides the short-sightedness of it. It just, yeah.
It was all a very confusing and disjointed show, and I guess we'll kind of start getting things rolling rather than just kind of talking about this. I feel like we could probably sit here and try to make sense of it all night. We'll go to the phone lines in just a minute. And if, by the way, I always forget to do this, so I'm going to do it while I'm thinking about it. If you do want to be part of the show, call in at 515-605-9345. We usually go live about 20 minutes after the show. Tonight was a little bit longer. Apologize for that. But about 20, 25 minutes after the show, after NXT ends, we'll be going live at that number. Or you could call, email in pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. I had to think about that for a second. That's the email address. Screws us all up every time we try to say it. So I am going to go to an email real quick before we go to the phone lines. This comes from JB, and Breaker overexposure. Hi team, it's JB from Detroit. Do you guys think that Breaker's competing for the defending title 3 times in a 4-day period is a bit of overkill? I like Braun, but I think it's possible that this much exposure could possibly be viewed as a negative thing to some, as they might be considered as getting pushed down our throats as some other wrestlers of the past. As always, love the show and go VIP. And I wanted to read that right now because I didn't actually read that before you and I started talking about it. It actually just came in 7 minutes ago. But it essentially is kind of like a plus to what we were just talking about, plus one to our what we were talking about, because it's – I think it might be viewed as a bit of overkill. I want to believe in Bron Breakker. I want to buy into Bron Breakker. I like the kid. I think he's got a lot of talent, but don't overdo it. Don't overdo it.
It's not just that. The stated reason they gave him for a rematch last night was that he impressed on Saturday at Stand and Deliver. Well, UNC impressed last night against Kansas and they lost, but they're not getting a rematch. That's not how it works. And even if you want to go with individual sports like prize fighting, the only time you have a rematch in MMA is if there's a draw, really, in a championship fight. So I just, like Gray Maynard and AJ, Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard had their trilogy, and the last two were rematches because the second fight was a draw. So it just, the stated reasonings. And then Gunther coming out and just challenging and making a match right there. There needs to be, without William Regal, there's no sense of I don't want to use the word authority. There's no sense of structure, really, on how things are happening within NXT. I think they need to have something like that reappear.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. There does need to be a little bit more, like, structure. Like, I don't believe you necessarily need an authority figure on like, a wrestling show, but sometimes you need an authority figure on a wrestling show. And like, you know, in a way I kind of like that's kind of like Adam Pearce's role. Now, you know, he's kind of gotten, into the storylines and things like that. But originally, that was kind of like his role, kind of to stand back and just make the decisions from corporate. And there is nothing like that right now. Like when Io and Kaylee Ray won the mm-hmm. Dusty Cup, they just said, hey, we're now going to put ourselves in the main event or in the NXT Women's Championship match. And it's like, wait a minute, this isn't it's not a singles title. You don't get a singles title shot from winning a tag team tournament. Like, they just let it happen. And then it just makes for some confusing TV. Like, why is this necessarily happening? And I don't know. I think I've made my point, but at least that's my two cents on all of that. Anything else to add before we go to the phone, Bruce?
Just another example is the Creed brothers still not getting a one-on-one or a title shot, a legitimate title shot for them as tag team champions for winning the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we will go to Ryan. Ryan, what did you think of the show tonight? And do you agree with anything we're saying? And what do you have for us?
That was a little bit pretty eventful show. So I think it was above average considering it was right after WrestleMania. A lot of developments going on and a lot of intriguing matchups, you could say.
Would you say you gave the show like a thumbs up, thumbs down, in the middle?
Slightly above the middle.
Okay. All right. Okay. It like totally cool. I'm just kind of curious. So far, at least just from we've been talking a little bit with Tom and a little bit with Kelly, and like usually there's a little bit of a mix of like, okay, that was good, not good, and even tonight
all four of us were unanimous.
It was a very heelish bunch tonight. I'd actually like to hear what it was that it kind of made you think it was above average.
Just basically getting to see Rick Steiner on the show was nice. And it was a little bit silly how he was used. This is a lot of first-time matchups we haven't seen, like Gunther and Braun Breaker. And even though, you might not like how it ended, but we did get that big match, at the end.
You talk with the big match between him and Harland or Gacy?
No, we got to see Gunther and Braun Breaker wrestle for the first time.
For some reason, I thought you were talking about the post-match angle. The show did have a couple things going for it. Like, if you take the Joe Gacy thing, for example, like the vignettes all night, of him just kind of popping up with Harland in the background, talking about family, and there was definitely a thread there, and then they pulled it right at the end. In a bubble, I like that. I don't know. I wish they either just went to that without sacrificing mm-hmm. Gunther, or did it. Maybe a few weeks down the road. I actually really like what they're doing with Gacy. The Rick Steiner thing, yeah, it's gimmicky, it's goofy, but I don't know, it's intriguing. I wasn't expecting it. Like, at first when I saw Rick Steiner on the screen, like, I'm like, oh, that's cool, Rick Steiner. He looks a little upset. Oh, bars? Oh, he's tied up. Okay. I'm like, all right, now I'm intrigued. I liked it. I just wish they didn't have to sacrifice Gunther for it. Bruce, anything on that?
Oh, so, yes, the Gacy thing, they had a through line and they paid it off, so that was nice. I just feel like while he kept hammering home family, I just didn't see where it was going until finally Rick Steiner popped up at the end. And so I think there needed to be a little more fine-tuning of...
I'd agree with that a little bit, yeah.
Just because they kept going, they went back to Draco Anthony and Zion Quinn between one of them. So I kept thinking he was talking about bringing Draco Anthony into their family as they had been doing the past couple of weeks. So there's another sudden shift right here where they're still trying to pay that off with Anthony, yet they're having Gacy and Harlan abduct Rick Steiner. And I think it's because you say on social media, but there were rumors that Rick Steiner was in the building tonight after staying for after being at the Hall of Fame and going with his son back to Florida. And I mean, how do I put this? I think my favorite part of the whole segment was he calls his son Bronson and just said, screw your kayfabe name. So that was nice. But yeah, I just think there needed to be a little more hand-holding in terms of why they showed up three times throughout the night.
Yeah. All right. Ryan, back to you.
First question on this show, well, not really the show, but it's on Braun Breaker's title victory. Do you see WWE putting more NXT title matches on Monday Night Raw, say the women's title and the tag team titles being on the show, or you think this is just like a one-time event this week?
I kind of hope it's a one-time event, at least in this context. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't want necessarily to be a one-time event. I think there's a time and a place for it. And I do think that that time and place was last night on Raw. But as Bruce and I were talking about either on air or off air, I don't remember, but we were definitely talking about it. Why have, if the outcome was going to be Braun Breaker as champion, why not have him be a champion coming out of Stand and Deliver and then defend it again on Raw? That's really my gripe. But I'm not against putting other titles up on Raw or SmackDown, for that matter. Any exposure that they can get, I think, is good. But I wouldn't overdo it because, for example, like, I'm not a regular viewer of Raw and SmackDown. Like, sometimes I'll tune in, sometimes I won't. Last night was legit a fluke. I was flipping channels and came on Raw and was like, wait, what's going on right now? And yes, I actually was flipping channels. I wasn't looking through a guide or anything. People think that's weird. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it was an interesting, it was definitely an interesting, I lost my point. I'm coming back to my point. Point being is I'm not a regular viewer of Raw. So if I'm not watching Raw, I would have come into tonight being like, wait a minute. Braun Breaker is the champ, especially if I wasn't watching social media and things, which I wasn't. I had to work all day, didn't get a lot of time to do social media till later on in the day. So there's a possibility, you know, people may not have seen that, and now they're all confused. Sure, you can explain it away, but I don't think it's necessarily fair to the audience of like the dedicated NXT audience to give away those title shots on Raw or SmackDown on a regular basis. Bruce.
Yeah, I think it was just for the season. So initially my first thought when news came out about having an NXT title match on Raw, I thought, oh, it's going to be Ziggler and Breaker. But then I thought, well, maybe it's Mandy Rose, because after Saturday, she really has no one left at the level of the NXT women's title right now in NXT. And so I thought maybe they would have someone on Raw challenge her and either take the title or give a really good fight, and Mandy Rose could put on a good showing for the crowd and maybe draw some eyeballs towards NXT in a different way than they want Mandy Rose to draw eyeballs to NXT. So it's just, I hope it doesn't happen. But I also think that we will see more, especially around the big four, maybe big five now with Money in the Bank, because the creative teams, well, at least the heads, are basically the same between all three brands now. And so there's, even with the random mass booking tonight, there's still a bit of continuity in the sense that they're at least maintaining storylines you see on NXT when they go on Raw. And so I believe that just because of that, this will happen more. Is that what I want? No, of course not. Like you said, since I stopped covering Raw, I don't watch it anymore. I don't watch SmackDown. I keep up with it through the Torch, through podcasts, and through written reports. So, what's the word? You're disservicing your main viewers. And I don't know how much that does to grow your base of viewers, which right now isn't doing as well as it had been in the past. And so for me, I understand they're doing it because they want to draw more eyeballs to it, but then in that same vein, are you drawing away the people that have been there the whole time? It's
right.
A dilemma that they're going to have to figure out.
If you make it feel like an undercard show, it's going to be an undercard show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Sunday Night Heat used to be an awesome show to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't anymore.
Remember how Main Event started with all the hoopla and everything? You had Cena and everybody on Main Event in the beginning. And then, after 2 weeks, it was done.
Exactly. Ryan, anything else?
Second question I have is there a reason why the fans were heckling the
baby? Oh, my gosh.
Is that the WrestleMania crowd still hanging around, or is that just something else going on?
Well, they looked like they were back in the PC, right, Tonight?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're at Capitol Wrestling Center. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were back.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have necessarily been the WrestleMania crowd. So it would have kind of been the normal crowd, I would assume, anyway. Tom, I can't ask you. Like, I can't ask you what you think, because Tom belongs to all those groups and things. But
it's the same crowd. It was just,
it's
they
the
were
same
just more
crowd.
Insufferable tonight. I'm extremely insufferable tonight. They wanted to
they
take
were.
Over the show at every point, and it was just it was bad. It was really
– it,
it made a bad show even worse, because they were grating on me so much as I was writing my report and trying to watch. It just was not – from the beginning, you knew it was bad when Breaker came out to start the show, and you already had a "not my champion" chat. So that's not very good.
Yeah, I know. The only time I did appreciate it in a way was during the Tony D'Angelo segment where they're chanting "boring." But you know, I don't like that chant. But when it happened, I was kind of like, you know, can't disagree. Yeah. Bruce, anything else on that?
AJ Galanti has no charisma.
Oh God, no, he doesn't. I think I wrote in the report tonight, in the hits and misses, that he has less charisma than a toaster oven.
I said he has as much charisma as Gable Stevenson, which, if you watch WrestleMania, is about as much as Von Wagner. And Von Wagner now has negative charisma.
That's true. I don't know. I was listening to Wade. I think it was on the VIP roundtable with, I think it was the one with Rich and,
Zach.
Rich and Zach. Thank you. And basically he was talking about like the first time he saw Brock Lesnar, he was sitting sitting somewhere, a few rows away from him or whatever. And he seemed like he had no charisma then when he stood up, and like, so obviously you don't necessarily know what you've got, especially the first time you're in front of like a wrestling crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Oh,
he got heckled. So he let the heckling get to him
did.
So easily too. He was flustered.
He did. He was certainly flustered. Like he held, he just held on him so long before actually slamming. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Gable Stevenson. Anyway, Ryan, back to you.
MSK, are they like in danger of being taken off television based on what's happened in the last couple of days with the reports, or do you think their job's safe with the company?
So I don't know. Right now I think they're probably safe for the time being anyway. MSK seems to be, a team that are certainly in favor with the company. Even I'm talking before all, this stuff with Nash Carter and Kimberly came out. But essentially I think they'll probably do something, similar to other allegations in the past where they do investigate it. And if they find something, there are consequences. If they don't find something, there isn't enough evidence, or it doesn't necessarily go viral or something, you know, they kind of just try to sweep it under the rug. So I think we'll kind of have to see what happens. You know, there's conflicting reports of things right now, too. I'm not necessarily going to get into the meat and potatoes of that. Bruce, if you want to, you certainly can. For the moment, anyway, I think they're probably fine. I think it's kind of is also going to depend on what winds up coming out, what winds up happening, and what legally they may end up having to do if something comes to that. But I think it really just all depends on what happens. Bruce.
All I know is that this entire situation is convoluted and complicated. And
so far, he said, she said.
Very much so. And to the point that there are people forming sides and saying things about the other. And it just, I don't think we are in a position to make enough of an even an educated guess on what is going to happen, because there's just not enough concrete details. It's just a very, very difficult situation that I just don't think we have enough information to really comment on. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's a shame too, because from both sides, right, both sides are claiming, you know, like mental abuse and things like that. And that's, you know, being reported and things like that. And if that is the case, like, I don't want to see nobody should have to deal with anything like that. But regardless of, you know, he said, she said, it's something that should be personal. It should not, unless this is an angle. For some reason, like, if this is a wrestling angle, that's one thing, but it's certainly not in good taste. But this isn't something that really should be on the internet. Like, it's one of the things I hate about social media. It's just, it airs a lot of dirty laundry. And especially when you get things like, you know, mental health and things involved, you know, it's just not good. It's not good. It doesn't breed positive feelings, and I'll leave it at that. Yeah. Ryan, anything else?
My final question is on the poll they did with the best-looking couple. I believe it was like 89%. Wade Barrett made a comment that it was hacked and came from North Korea. So is it possible to come out that it was hacked? And thanks for taking my call.
Ryan, thanks as always. I hope so. I don't know. Like, I've heard differing sides, like that sometimes those polls work, sometimes they're not. I have no idea if that was worked or not. My guess would probably be no, that it wasn't, but that was also probably the intended result. So the intended result, like they wanted that result to happen. So even if it was fixed or whatever, that was probably the direction that they wanted to go, especially to keep the heel dynamic. If it wasn't fixed and for some reason Dujo wound up winning, I'm sure they probably would have had a contingency for that, that would have kept, you know, heel face alignment and kept the story going. But it's an entertaining thing. Bruce, anything on that before we go to Reverend Keith?
Let me just say, Wade Barrett, as someone whose relatives can probably trace some people to North Korea, screw yourself, man. There are plenty of malicious hackers within the United States of America.
Right.
And you want to go and pick, of course, a different country, one that is authoritarian. I see that point. But, dog, why? You could have just said it was hacked by, Indy Hartwell and Persia Prana from Australia. How come it couldn't be someone from Australia? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But to more seriously, what you were saying, I don't think it was rigged, mostly because Index has been a thing and really had fan support for basically a year now. And I think with that power alone, I'm not If it was more like 96 or like 95%, then I think it would have been more rigged. But for some reason, this doesn't seem as rigged. It seems more realistic to me than if it was been rigged. I don't know why. I think because of how much support they've had, that it makes sense. And Doja is just such a new thing.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons that where Doja is such a new thing, like, and Indie and like Index has been a thing for I didn't really, yeah, it's been about a year now. You're right. It wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't rigged, but by the same token, like, if it come to light that it was, like, hey, it's wrestling, you know, you do what you got to do to make the story happen. The show must go on, as we say, or they say. I don't know why I said we say, they say. Anyway, I'm going to quit rambling, and we'll go to Reverend Keith. Keith, how you doing tonight?
Please do, sir. Please do. My time is now, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. I'm tired. I'm not quite with it tonight. I had a long night last night. Had to actually go into work and do something really late, so I was up late. Anyway, you don't need to know my life, but that's how I'm doing.
I'm doing as well, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I promise I won't give 5 points. I promise you.
Hey, no problem.
Take
as long as you need, my friend.
Thank you, guys. I always enjoy talking to you. Thank you so much for taking my call tonight. Now, I want to say, in defense of the writing team, the creative for NXT 2.0, that I feel personally that the reason why they gave us this convoluted situation between Stand and Deliver, Monday Night Raw, and tonight is because I know that there weren't too many eyeballs on the show Saturday. I know personally I didn't see the show. I worked. I saw some of the highlights after I got off work and saw WrestleMania Night 1. I think that WWE did NXT a grave injustice, And I'm saying that mildly by placing this show at 1 o'clock p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, the same day of Night 1 of WrestleMania, combined with various other smaller promotions had matches scheduled for that afternoon. So I think what they did was, realizing that there were not too many eyeballs on the show live, they felt like, okay, number one, let's get some eyeballs on NXT on Monday Night Raw, being that we still have some of the people who came to Dallas for WrestleMania in the building at the American Airlines Arena, and they wanted to put some eyeballs on the product. So that's why I think they had Dolph lose to Braun on Monday as opposed to Saturday to get more eyes on the product. Now, that led to tonight. Now, before I get to tonight, what are your thoughts on them putting more eyeballs on the product? I know you were frustrated earlier in discussing this situation, but that's the only thing I can think of. They realized that they failed by having this show at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Well, that's what we said at the beginning of the show, too, is that we understand the micro of why they did it. But so it was 1 o'clock p.m. for you Eastern time. It was 7 o'clock a.m. for me here in Hawaii. I wasn't even up yet. I was basically just rolling out of bed at 7 a.m. on Saturday. So, but that's why we also said that the booking decisions on Saturday probably should have been shifted to Monday then or tonight. That way, because I feel like if Breaker is the star you're trying to build for the future and get the eyeballs on him, having him successfully defend the title on Monday night in a hard-fought match, as opposed to winning the title in a ho-hum match against Ziggler, who a lot of the people already view as a weird champion, I think the booking was backwards. And it didn't help that, like you said, it was early. But then we look at the women's tag team title match tonight, too. What was the point of having Kai Gonzalez win if you're just going to have Toxic Attraction win it back? And I noted tonight that with all these title changes in Saturday and tonight, or Saturday, Monday, and tonight, we now have a slew of two-time champions in NXT, which I don't think has happened before. You have a two-time NXT men's champion, two-time NXT women's tag team champion, a two-time men's tag team champion, And so that's new. That's different. I'm not sure if it's a good thing, because now the titles are just being hotshotted back and forth. And this all happened within 4 days, mind you, right? So, again, in the micro, I understand wanting the eyeballs there. I just still think the booking was backwards if you want to have the most eyeballs on here, because winning the title on TV is always great, but the title match also came out of nowhere with only a couple hours' notice. So people in the building weren't even aware of it, really. So it's just there's just a lot here that, while I in principle, I know why they did it, I just in execution, it was just very, very, very terribly done.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bruce. Couldn't agree with you more with that one. Keith, any follow-up on that, or do you have any other talking points for us tonight?
Yes, now I'm going to talk about tonight's title match. I was reading as I was listening to Ryan. It gave me an opportunity to read over your report, and I noticed that, you know, you and I had similar views, Doc Bruce, about NXT having their champion, Braun Breaker, pinned cleanly in the middle of the ring, Gunther. I was just as shocked as you. I anticipated a Smalls finish. I just knew in my heart and in my mind that they would not have Braun cleanly pinned Gunther tonight. So that finish after 13 minutes really surprised me, you know. But that's a testament to the faith that they have in Braun Breaker by having him go over Gunther, who we all know Gunther is a powerhouse. Gunther is intimidating. Gunther is a massive man. So to have him lose clean in the middle of the ring in a first-time matchup, it was shocking, because I'm thinking to myself, this is Eric Bischoff booking right here. You know, this is what led WCW to go down the tubes. You know, this reminded me of Hogan Goldberg. This match should have been saved for a premium live event. Why waste it tonight? You know, and if you're going to waste it tonight, have it end in Smalls. You know, you could have had Imperium come back out, you know, and cause a disqualification. And you could have also gotten the Creed brothers involved. You know, that's the way I would have booked it. You know, if you're going to have that match, don't have it in like that, you know, because now you've kind of buried Gunther, you know, of all people. Now, unless they're going to bring Gunther up to the main roster, which I don't think so right just yet, I'm really surprised. I really am, and I feel like this match should have been on a premium live event. Your thoughts?
It absolutely should have been on some sort of a premium live event. I agree. There should have been much larger build to it. And I don't feel like this match shouldn't have taken place tonight. It was certainly rushed. And like we said earlier tonight, it just took everything they were building with Gunther, and yeah, he's still dominant, and I guess they could still certainly book something to make it seem like this loss didn't necessarily matter. I don't have faith in them doing that right now, but I feel like they kind of just they crapped on everything that they have been trying to do with Gunther and Imperium, for that matter, with the two of them squabbling earlier in the night. You know, everything with Imperium just exploded. I'm expecting there to be in the next, you know, couple weeks, something to explain why Imperium, you know, imploded, why Gunther wasn't on his A game. You know, maybe he is worried about his faction and, you know, I hate to use the term friends, but, you know, his acquaintances anyway. But yeah, that's at least my two cents. Bruce.
I wrote after that initial opening promo that I expected shenanigans to happen in the main event match because it's just a lose-lose situation. If you put Gunther over Breaker, then why just the title has changed hands 3 times in the last 4 days, if that's the case. And then makes Breakker look yeah. And then if you have Breakker put over Gunther, then you lose all that you just built up with Gunther. So I said, oh, here comes shenanigans. And then the whole thing with Imperium happened, and it happened so quickly that I missed what happened as I was writing my report. I just saw Eichner leave, and I honestly have there was no follow-up except for Gunther telling Bartel in the back that to focus on what needs to happen. And then Bartel wasn't even at ringside for him. So I don't understand any of this, what's going on between Imperium and Gunther, and just why this sudden breakup angle needed to happen right now, tonight, when there was seemingly no preamble for it, except for them losing the title on Saturday and tightening up of certain spots tonight. It just seemed like they skipped months worth of work in a lot of the angles tonight. And this was one of them. Gunther is stateside now, so if he moves to the main roster, quote unquote, then I could see that why this happened. But if he's going to stay in NXT for longer, then this is just going to be one of those head scratching booking decisions for a while, because I think the last time I was on, I said I would save Gunther and build him up while you have Dolph Ziggler as champion until SummerSlam premium live event for NXT, and that's where you have Gunther take the title. Now, I don't even know if this loss is going to do a lot of damage. I don't think they're anticipating.
I definitely agree with what you're saying there. Keith, back to you.
Well, all we can do is just wait and see how they follow this up. You know, it is a little convoluted, as you guys stated earlier, and it's definitely a shock to witness, you know. Now, I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, other than Ilya Dragunov, is this Gunther's only pinfall loss between the two NXT brands?
I think so. You can give another one, Bruce.
I'm trying to remember if he ever took the loss in any of the six-man tags with Imperium, but I don't think he did. And I think he left NXT UK after the Dragunov loss, but this must be the second one.
Yeah, I think this is. At least his second singles. I can't imagine him taking a pin in a tag, but there could be at least a good reason for it. So whatever. But yeah, at least singles. I think this is.
Yeah, I think we are both correct, because the only other pinfall loss I ever witnessed seeing him take was against Ilya Dragunov. And we know that was one heck of a match. A very impressive win for Bron Breakker. And it was good to see Rick involved in the storyline, albeit it was very hokey-pokey. And because I'm not at all into the whole Harlem Gacy inclusion, you know, I don't like that. I don't like how they're mixing, you know, real life issues into a storyline with a faction. That's a topic for another call. You know, I'm looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, so we'll leave that alone. I don't want to start preaching on here.
No, I certainly understand that one.
Yeah, I'm talking about the whole Gacy faction, the inclusion angle. I look at it from a different standpoint. But, you know, WWE, they over the years, they have had a tendency to mix real life issues into storylines. And sometimes to many of us, it comes off very bad on camera, and I'm going to leave it at that as far as the Joe Gacy gimmick. But anyway, it was good to see Rick Steiner involved with his son. We'll see how long he's in the storylines, and you know, we'll take it from there. Now, the only other topic I want to bring up is the women's title match. I thought it was a good match. You know, I'm a fan of Toxic Attraction. I think that all three of those ladies have come a long way. And I followed Priscilla Kelly, you know, Gigi Dolan, on the independent scene. So it's good to see her making waves in NXT 2.0. Now, as one of you alluded to earlier, it was interesting that they hot-shotted the belts right back to them. You know, now maybe it was to give them their second title reign, as Doc Bruce mentioned, you know, because it just seemed interesting that they would have Dakota and Raquel win and then lose it back 3 days later. But what I can say, that it part of the reason could have been so that they would have a reason to place Dakota back into the title hunt, because at the end of the show, just prior to the main event, they showed Dakota flipping out backstage, and she was turning over barrels and crates, and she was upset over what had happened, and she declared that she wants Mandy for herself. So maybe that was their way of getting to the one-on-one title picture with Mandy versus Dakota. Your thoughts?
I think that's honestly the only like logical explanation. Like I know Bruce and I were talking off air with Tom a little bit about it too. And like, that's kind of really the only logical explanation I think we can come up with. And like, I guess in a way, like certainly taking the titles, putting them on Raquel and Kai, making it look like, you know, she's going somewhere with these titles and then losing them back to Toxic Attraction because of Mandy Rose. Like, I guess, okay, that builds a good reason for her to want to, you know, want to hunt for the NXT title and get revenge on Mandy Rose. But by the same token, all of the other titles right now are just kind of getting moved around. And so this title change just doesn't feel like it doesn't feel important, doesn't feel special. Where, because like, you know, as Bruce said a little while ago, right now we have a lot of two-time NXT champions as champions, or at least multi-time champions as champions. If not two-time, they're all two-time. Point being is it's like NXT, the championships used to matter. Right now they're being treated, I hate to say it, but they're being treated like props, at least in my opinion. It's not something we're used to. I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing right now, because I'm trying to give it a bit of a wait and see approach, mostly because I'm negative on it. But I also want to try and take some time and digest it. Here's some other points of view, and you know, maybe like, you know, see where they're going in a couple of weeks to really figure out, you know, if I'm enjoying this direction or not. Because tonight, I feel like if it wasn't for the podcast and the hits and misses, I probably would have shut the show off. They're not gonna lie. But anyway, Bruce, anything with that?
So they announced during the main event that Rose versus Kai next week is one of three title matches. So they're really trying to stack these shows coming out of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I still think that if this was the desired outcome of having Kai versus Rose for the title, and hopefully Kai finally getting the women's championship for once, because as Vic Joseph said on commentary tonight, she is the most talented women's wrestler in NXT history who hasn't won the title.
True.
You could have done an angle on Saturday where Kai and Gonzalez do something like her big kick and the Chingona bomb, and then Toxic Attraction get rid of them and steal the pin. And that's more, to me, in kayfabe and in real life, that is more deserving of a rematch than, quote-unquote, looking impressive in a title match as Bron Breakker did, and which got him his rematch on Monday. So and then you could have had them tonight work Gonzalez's knee again and injure her, which led to which would have then led to Kai's little tantrum in the back calling out Rose. And she specifically said, I want to destroy you, I believe were her words. I need to go back in my report and check on that after this, but
I think you're right.
So she's just not coming for the championship. She's coming for Mandy Rose's livelihood. And to me, that may indicate that she loses herself in terms of her emotions and doesn't get the title because of maybe getting disqualified or whatnot. But I still think the route to get to where they got tonight was backwards.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with you on that one as well. I think it was a little bit like, why necessarily flip-flop it? And I don't know, I kind of feel like it devalues the titles to just keep moving them around. But regardless, Keith, anything else?
Well, let's just hope, gentlemen, that the titles will remain around the current placeholders for a while, and they won't continue to hotshot. I think they were only doing this because it was WrestleMania weekend, and again, they're trying to gain more viewers. They're trying to pop ratings, and I think overall they realized that it was a mistake having Stan and Deliver at the time frame that they had. In closing, I feel that next year they should find a way to have the Stand and Deliver show on the Thursday night prior to the SmackDown Hall of Fame ceremony, night one and night two. I think more people would be into it and would be available to watch it as opposed to having it on a Saturday afternoon. It's almost like the Saturday-Saudi shows. A lot of people, even if they were on board politically with these shows, I don't think they would watch them. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I hope you have a great week. God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend.
All right. Thank you, Keith, as always. All right. Bruce, do you have any follow-up on anything that he was just talking about?
I understand needing to wait it out a bit because this is how pro wrestling works. I just don't think that when they do these sorts of short-term, short-sighted things, that they put into context the long-term damage that can be done from these things. And I'm really going to be interested to see just what tonight, just it's amazing how one night can change so many things, but I'm really going to be interested to see, or I guess this set of this three, these four events in 3 days, it's going to be interesting to see just how much these four nights and three, or these four events in 3 days, affects the next 6 months to 1 year of NXT booking, because this has one of those makings of a show where a lot of things can start breaking right or a lot of things can start breaking bad. And I hope it's the former, not the latter.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Tonight was a rough ride. Tonight was definitely a rough ride for me. So I'm certainly hoping that they kind of steer direction and we kind of go from there. Now let's go ahead. We've been going for almost an hour now. We haven't really talked about a whole much other than Bron Breakker and a couple other things here. Toxic Attraction, Kyan Gonzalez. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Lash Legend and Nikita Lyons. Now, I'm really kind of curious to hear what you thought about this match, because in hindsight, I don't think it was as bad as I was giving it at the time. I was expecting this to be kind of a disaster. And while it wasn't a five-star classic, I don't think it was a disaster either. I feel like both women still have a lot of room to grow, both with their characters and in ring, but this is obviously developmental. This is a place to be to do that. But they didn't necessarily disappoint me in this match. I feel like both of them, Nikita Lyons, for example, her finisher, it's a nice finisher. It works. It gets people talking on the internet. I guess we'll leave it at that. But I don't know. I can't try to necessarily find the words what I'm trying to say here, but they basically surprised me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I was not going to give them a whole lot of credit for this match going into it. And I think coming out of it, I feel like they certainly outperformed my expectations. Bruce, what do you think?
So all the things that we've been saying negatively, I will say I think there are at least three things that from the past 4 days went about as perfectly for WWE as you could have hoped for. One is everything with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch. And while the black eye does suck, it provided an outstanding visual for Bianca Belair last night. And it's one of those images kind of like when Becky had her nose broken and had that the bloody nose. It's kind of like her moment with that. So I think that is one of the good things. Two, I think everything with Cody Rhodes' comeback was about as picture perfect as you could get if you're WWE and Cody Rhodes. So that's another one. And three, this match, it went about as well as you could have hoped considering the experience level of both of these women. And there are definitely still some nitpicks. The one spot of miscommunication I really noticed, and it's kind of, you know, I don't see everything all the time because I'm typing and looking between the things, but when Lyons hit her cyclone kick at the end, it looked like Last Legend was expecting the kick to come from the opposite side, and so she bumped as if she took it from the right instead of the left side, which Lyons likes using her left leg to kick with it. So that was a little issue I saw. And of course, as Tom and Kelly have been bringing up, she likes to hit her cyclone kick on one side, but then she has to walk over to the other side to hit her finisher with her split leg drop because she likes to hit it from that side. And that just, it's different from someone going up to the top rope to set up their finisher because there's no need for you to have to do that. You could just get up and hit your damn finisher right there, but she has to get the side that she prefers. And I just don't think that if these two moves that are supposed to chain together for your finisher are, you like having them done on separate sides, they shouldn't be chained together. It should be different. And so that is something to watch. I think for me, what I noted the most was that Lash Legend, everything about her character just seems so natural, while Nikita Lyons, it just seems very forced, and like she's trying to believe in the character she's putting forth. And it's not selling me on her character. And they did the announcers did a very strong job of putting over Lash Legend's NCAA basketball career and her record for rebounds, I think, in a single tournament game, which was 20-something. So she has the size, the look, the charisma, and I think the natural sort of ease of her character that comes with someone as to why you see them where they are and why we're getting a kind of a push of being on TV. The only thing that I kept seeing, again, it's something I missed at first because I'm doing my report, is there are people complaining that Lash Legend was there was a spot in the match where Lyons hit her with a big move and Legend got back up pretty quickly. And then there are people complaining online that she got up too quickly after the finish or the ref was trying to plead with her to stay in the ring longer, but Legend just kind of rolled out one about her thing. And, you know, Lash Legend right now is the biggest woman in NXT women's division, and she has the credential of being in high-level NCAA basketball where she was in the paint, getting elbows to the face and head all the time. So the more they work that angle up, the more to me it makes sense that she's not going to be staying down for too long. Now, there is the danger of them making her into sort of the unstoppable force like The Undertaker was, but I think they'll be smarter about that and just make sure that when we get more vignettes on her history and her past, he discusses the battle she had down low in the paint and how that was more physical than, I mean, maybe not put it in these terms, but how that physicality prepared her for the physicality of being in a WWE ring.
All right. I can kind of take it from that perspective. I wasn't really thinking about it like that because, you know, she is a lot, like, she's a much, like, taller woman than I thought she was, to be honest.
Lyons
with you.
Is big. Lyons is big, and Legend is still towering over her.
Exactly. And I was not – I didn't really know that until tonight. I don't know how I necessarily missed that. Like, I knew – well, I mean, I knew she, you know, likes to basketball and things like that. I knew that was a thing. So maybe I should have thought about that. But, yet, man, she does. She's certainly like the giant in the women's division right now, which is a good thing. Through that lens, I think maybe I would change my stance on that because I was one of those people. I even said it in our chat that like she's got to sell, and maybe she does need to tweak things a little bit. But I really wasn't looking at it like that. I really kind of wasn't taking her size into consideration, believe it or not, in the match. Because I was really thinking this was more of her getting fed to Nikita Lyons anyway. But like you said, through that, or like you're talking about, through that lens, I'll go with it. I pick up what you're putting down.
Well, it's clear that they have high hopes for both women, and they're just a little higher on Lyons right now. They think she's more developed. I think physically they're similar. I think Lyons does have a little more polish to her than Legend, but it's not by much. And I just think that Legend's character presentation is just so much more smooth than Lyons's. And for me, I would put more money on Legend's future than I would Lyons.
All right. So I need to learn your cadence better before I stick a Kit Kat in my mouth. usually I could tell when like somebody was going to talk and when they're about to stop. So, hey, take a quick snack or something. But nope, I got caught right there. Sorry, guys.
Well, while you're eating your Kit Kat, I'll transition here to Cameron Grimes' championship promo after winning on Saturday. So he came out in a nice suit, and he looked happy, but he wasn't over the top. He looked like someone who had accomplished a goal that he had set out to and felt fully content in doing that. And I think that, you know, last week I talked about how with Cameron Grimes, adding these layers they had to his character was a good thing, because with someone who's so over the top, you can get lost in that. And I think for a while they did get lost in that with Cameron Grimes. So, and I know Tom quibbled with bringing his dad into it because there have been so many of these stories and it just came out of nowhere. And I agree, but I do like how they added these dimensions to the character of Cameron Grimes. Now, like Bianca Belair last night, I thought this was just going to be a standard babyface championship winning promo, just straight to the point, mission statement, I'm here, and go from there. I was excited last night that there was no interruption. Tonight we did get an interruption, but it wasn't really, I wouldn't put it in sort of an interruption angle, really. It was more of a, you finish speaking, now I'm going to come out and say my part for Solo Sikoa. And Sikoa basically congratulated him and then challenged him to a match, saying every champion needs a challenger, and I'm that challenger. They shook hands, and the match was then made official for next week, one of the three title matches. The other title match next week, I believe, is MSK versus the Creed Brothers. So this promo and the ensuing aftermath, the one thing I noted about Sikoa is that he seemed to say about three or four words and then pause and then say another three or four words to finish off his sentence or his statement. And I think that's because he was walking and he wasn't really sure yet how to time his walking and his breathing with his speaking. So that's something I think he's going to work on. But I do appreciate the fact that they're giving him the time and the space to come out here and gain the experience of, even in the short burst, of doing these promos in front of a live audience and in front of a TV viewing audience.
I am actually really looking forward to seeing what Solo Sikoa is going to do in his career. I really like what he's got going on so far in the ring. He reminds me a lot of Taz for some reason. For some, it might be a weird comparison, and it is even for me too, because like you think of Taz as a suplex machine,
but maybe Mohawk.
Maybe it's that, and kind of they've got a similar build as well, and it's just like a scrappy style. But he reminds me a lot of like, you know, Taz from, you know, early, but you know, ECW and, you know, WWE was kind of slowing down. He was slowing down by then, but. I like Solo Sikoa, and I also like the fact that he made, you know, I like the fact that they're not shying away from the fact that he is a member of the Anoa'i tribe, Anoa'i family, rather. I guess either way. But because like at first I didn't want them to if they were going to give him a different name, Solo Sikoa, they weren't going to call him like an Uso or something. You know, just forget it, you know, don't make mention of it. Or if you do, you know, maybe every once in a while. And the fact that they're doing it more often, I'm okay with it, because they're at least being consistent with it. Yeah, but it was, you know, when they made reference to the bloodline directly by name and pointing to his veins. So I like that. And I think he'll be a good first challenger for Grimes, and I kind of wonder also too, like, what the outcome of this is going to be. I hate to see Solo Sikoa lose, so yeah, you could always do some sort of like a scurry finish or something like that, but at the same time, I would also like to see Solo Sikoa win and get the title. I also, like you were talking about Cameron Grimes, his new character, I do dig it. I kind of miss the Cameron Grimes of old, or even just like right after he won all the money. I appreciate the new kind of undertones of this character and kind of iterations of it for sure. And I love Cameron Grimes as a performer in general. But the character isn't resonating with me like it used to. Still does, but not like it used to. Before it was like, I would watch and wait for Cameron Grimes. And now I'm like, okay, hey, cool. Cameron Grimes is on TV. I think that was about all I wanted to say about that. So we can...
On the Cameron Grimes thing, I think what they're trying to do right now is give him basically... How do I put this? I think what they're trying to do with him as North American champion is give him a babyface title run where he's defending... probably two or three times a month, and is really building up that fan support to the point that he is viewed as a legitimate NXT championship challenger because of, I don't think when people, so the character that resonated with you, right, and a lot of people, that over the top, the money, all that, as much as that was a fun character, that character is not someone who's going to win a top title. And I think what they're doing with Grimes now is trying to make sure that they build him up to the point, because his talent level for sure is that of someone who should be a top title holder.
Oh yeah, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying right here. Like I think this is exactly what they're doing.
It's the long game.
Yeah, it's absolutely the long game. So just some of the nuances that made him Cameron Grimes, like the over-the-top accents and things like that, right? He's dropped that. And it's just those small little nuances that made him kind of just more eccentric, I guess. And he's kind of acclimating to real life, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but I don't know. Personally, I don't want
he's
to see him
up.
Straight to... Yeah, all
basically.
Right.
He's basically growing up.
All right, I guess I can get down on that. I get down on that.
And when it comes to the match, I don't think Sikoa is long for NXT. I think the constant references to the Bloodline, and if you didn't see over the weekend, he posted a picture in the back at WrestleMania with him and the Usos, his brothers. I think he's going to be brought in probably by Money in the Bank or at Money in the Bank as the big heavy for Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. And, you know, Sefa Fatu
is
going... That
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, Sefa Fatu is, he's not, like, tall, but he's a formidable man still. And, you know, the Usos are cool, but they
He's got a presence about him, yeah.
Usos are cool, but they're a tag team specialist, and they don't have a singles bruiser. So, you know, in Evolution, they're a four-person team. Batista and Ric Flair were the tag team while Randy Orton went on the singles run. And then eventually, you know, Orton and Batista became single stars. They need someone who can help Roman Reigns on the single side instead of just relying on the tag team side, which will allow the Usos then to kind of reassert the tag team division as more solidified than it has been, with them pulling kind of double duty, having to do Reigns' angles pretty much every week as well. So I think Sikoa probably won't win this match, but I don't think it'll be his last match at NXT, but I do think by Money in the Bank or at Money in the Bank, he's going to debut as the heavy for, and they might change his name. And Grimes did call him Oos tonight too. So they're really hammering home the connection that he has to the Bloodline.
Yeah.
So I really think he is more than likely going to be with the Bloodline by the end of Money in the Bank.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think he's ready for it. If not necessarily now, by the time they need him. You know, like I said, he's got that presence about him. I like his in-ring style. The only thing that I wish he would do just for his own health is put on a set of wrestling boots. I hate it. I don't like watching guys. It's same thing with Matt Riddle. I hate watching guys with like exposed ankles, not because anything about exposed ankles, but it's like, you know, like Russo. Remember that.
To be fair, though, that's the only injury I remember from people who were barefoot.
Yeah, I know, but. I don't know.
I get it.
Yeah. I understand why it would be, you know, more advantageous for some people to like not wear shoes because they're, you know, more comfortable not wearing shoes and more agile and things like that. I get it, but you know, whatever. Let's go on to something else here. We'll go on to Don DeAngelo. So what did you think about this segment between AJ Galante and Tony DeAngelo kind of coronating him as the Don of NXT? I know you said that you didn't think AJ Galante had any charisma. I certainly didn't either. I didn't know who the hell he was when he came out with Tony DeAngelo at Stand and Deliver. I had to Google him. And thankfully, I did Google the right guy because he said something about the bad boy of hockey and the Danbury Thrashers or something like that, or Trashers. If he's supposed to be some sort of a promoter or something, I don't think he's in front of an audience much. He was just kind of underwhelming. I don't know. He didn't seem to at least vibe with what was going on here. As far as Tony DeAngelo is Don, though, like kind of like trying to take on that role. How did you, what did you feel about the segment and even his meeting with Escobar in the parking lot?
So it seems like Galante was not, didn't get much rehearsal time or was not trained very well prior to coming out tonight because he was just ruffled so easily by the fans. And granted, the fans tonight in the center were completely insufferable, but still, he completely sucked the energy and life out of that segment. And Tony, to his credit, he tried saving it and tried getting Galante to move on. I've been higher on Tony DeAngelo than all of you on the show, pretty much. How do I put this? His character, of course, the hyperbolic stereotype about it is something that is, it's just too much. I do think if, as a face, he wasn't working, or as a face, he was working, I should say. As a heel, I think he would work better if in the ring, he has an amateur wrestling background. So I'm not comparing him to this person in terms of their skill. I'm trying to compare him to this person as an example of what I think he should do to put over this heel character and get it more accepted. When Kurt Angle was a heel, he would use his wrestling to really, really just grate on his opponents and just show them that they can't do anything to him because of his wrestling acumen. He needs to take a page out of that book and use his wrestling, his amateur wrestling background, not just more, but in a very, very arrogant and heelish way, because Don usually has people to do the dirty work for them, but sometimes Don has to go out there and do the work himself. And he needs to show that, especially in these big matches, which he keeps losing, except for, okay, it's not losing because he beat Pete Dunne and then he beat Ciampa, but like you go back to the qualifying match and whatnot, he didn't win that. So for the heel character to work, I think he needs to do that. Now, the interaction is interesting because by all accounts, Legado del Fantasma are still heels, even though sometimes they're received as faces because Santos Escobar is just very cool. He did mention that as long as, you know, as from one boss, from one patron to another, keep your business out of my business and everything will be fine. It's kind of like families and gangs having their own turf. It seems like it's going to lead eventually to Tony D versus Santos Escobar, and it might finally lead to LDF getting called up if that's how they go, because there's not going to be enough room for, I can totally see Tony D be like, there's not enough room for two Dons in NXT, and then picking a fight with Escobar, and from there, he wins and they get sent to preferably SmackDown. Tony D, I think, he's kind of in that position where we always say he gets crap to work with, but he does the best of the crap that he's given.
So I kind of agree with you, like 100% on, maybe 95%, but on a lot of what you're saying, like, with him and Escobar, I kind of started thinking about, like, you know, the mafioso warfare and things like that. And now I'm kind of starting to wonder, okay, if he's the Don of NXT, who is he necessarily the Don of, you know? And as you said, Don always has somebody to do his dirty work.
It's not Galante.
It's certainly not Galante. Galante, he's just, you know, I guess maybe the rich benefactor or something. I don't know. But he's got to have somebody in the waiting. Like, there's got to be somebody waiting to debut. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure who that might be. But I'm wondering if he's going to wind up recruiting somebody or people, a couple people, you know, as some sort of a faction. And, you know, and I was thinking the same thing, you know, kind of having a feud with Escobar and then them finally, Legado del Fantasma, finally debuting on the main roster, probably minus Electra Lopez, though, as we keep mentioning. So that's kind of what I was thinking as well on that. So I guess, yeah, let's kind of talk a little bit about Joe Gacy and like the vignettes and everything that threaded through the night. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but what do you think of Joe Gacy as like an actual credible or Joe Gacy or Harland for that matter, as an actual credible threat to Bron Breakker and his title?
Gacy, this character, when I see Gacy in the ring, I can see the flashes of what made him popular on the indies and why they signed him. When I see him as his character, it's one of those, again, where he's just giving crap. And I know they understand the optics of having this straight white dude, I presume he's straight, white dude, talking about all these different things that generally affect people who don't look like him or identify as he does. And because of that, a lot of this just has been too tongue-in-cheek for me. And also, I know his constant smile is supposed to be creepy, but to me, it just looks stupid. And that's not what you're supposed to be trying to do here. And Harland, bless his heart, lots of potential. But his seething anger, I said this with Lions, it's just too forced. And I think the most I've seen out of Harland in terms of his kind of presence and whatnot and not being forced, so forceful, is those videos on social media of him just standing outside your door and he's just kind of looking at you and just staring at you like, what is this big, bald, white dude staring at my door for? That's more believable to me than his constant preening in the background behind Gacy, especially tonight in the videos. Harland definitely presents a bigger challenge to Breakker just based on body type. But I do believe, I know that Gacy has potential in him for a good match. I'm just not sure if his style will mesh well with Breakker. And that's the issue that I'm wanting to see kind of play out next week. Because while Breakker has improved a lot, he's also been in the ring with people who are known to not only elevate the talent, but be the ones in there calling the matches. So, you know, I saw Gunther calling the match in the ring tonight with Breakker. Next week, I assume Gacy will call the match, but I'm just not sure if in NXT, Gacy yet has the experience enough to call a NXT championship match in the ring, unless it's something they pretty much plan out from the beginning before they go out there, kind of like Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat. It's going to be interesting next week.
It certainly is. Certainly is. Like, I'm not necessarily down on the idea of trying to elevate Gacy and Harland and try to just elevate and make more stars right now, because I was just thinking about this while you were talking. It sounds kind of, or it seems kind of like, in a way that it is a developmental brand. And it's almost like they're just trying to take one person and elevate them, Bron Breakker, and feed people to Bron Breakker. Like, if, because Harland, he's kind of been booked. I mean, you know, we've seen him wrestle a couple, few times now here, right? Mm-hmm. But he's kind of been booked as a monster and somebody that, you know, it's going to be hard to overcome. I feel like they're just going to wind up feeding him to Breakker. it's almost kind of similar to just the rise of, you know, Roman Reigns and Cena and things like that. Very formulaic, I guess, is the term I'm looking for. And I'm not saying that's good, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, right? I'm just, it just kind of almost feels like that's the way that they're trying to do things. And I don't necessarily, like I said, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. But at the same time, why just elevate one person? You can start elevating multiple people and build longer feuds rather than this Bron Breakker and Gunther thing only lasting 1 week. You build that for a month or two or three. And then you, if you want to then feed Harland to him, take those 3 extra months and start building Harland a bit more and have Harland beat some, you know, win some meaningful matches, and make him an even bigger threat before feeding him to Breakker. I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm rambling a little bit at this point, but
not just that. So one of the reasons I'm just so annoyed at the booking with the NXT Championship the last 4 days is the angle tonight with Gacy, Harland, and Rick Steiner. This is perfect to set up for a babyface champion's first feud after regaining a title, but you didn't need to have that match happen. Plus, Gacy and Harland eventually, like, Gacy is a perfect first opponent for a babyface champion to go after and then successfully overcome. And as you said, at the same time, you can build up Harland along the way so that when Gacy is defeated, Harland can step up and Breakker can accept that challenge and go from there. And then that could have led to Gunther finally taking the title off of him later in the summer. So that's, again, for so long we've discussed how in WWE there seems to be a lack of long-term booking. And the last 4 days of NXT is just a huge, huge, huge indictment on that fact because they do not have long-term booking, especially when it comes right now to NXT. And it's just, this is why the next 6 months to a year to me are going to be so intriguing because there's just a lot of things that can go wrong.
No, exactly. It doesn't necessarily feel like they have any sort of like long-term goal other than build Bron Breakker.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, before, like, I mean, we've been so accustomed to long, I wouldn't even, well, yeah, I mean, in a lot of cases, like long booking, you know, long-term storylines. And I say long-term meaning like at least, you know, a month, you know, not just, I feel like this Gunther getting just pinned cleanly really does not sit well with me right now.
After his finisher was so easily kicked out of.
Yeah, it
twice.
Right, like yeah, sure. Bron Breakker, I like Bron Breakker, and I think he as of right now, he's certainly somebody that you can put in this spot as champion, and it's believable, and he can hold the and he has what it takes to actually, you know, do it, but. Man, Walter, you know, he's been building that character for so long, like this giant undefeated streak to, you know, that's right, because he had the undefeated streak to Ilya Dragunov, and I think, you know, as we were saying earlier, I think this is the only other singles loss he's had, and yes, that should mean more than NXT after Stand and Deliver, you know, that should be a, you know, that should be at Stand and Deliver or at least a named show, a premium live event, if you will. But at least, you know, those are mostly on Wednesdays anyway, but you know what I mean? So any follow-up on that?
Nah, I think we've discussed the befuddling decision that is the NXT Men's Championship right now.
Absolutely. All right, so let's start running for the hills. We haven't talked about Imperium versus the Creeds. So we had Imperium versus the Creeds in 11 minutes and 35 seconds. This was a match that was also a little intriguing to me, and I thought was going to wind up playing into the main event anyway, and it didn't, because halfway through, or not actually halfway through, it, you know, this was kind of what led into the end of the match. It seemed like Martel Barthel just got up and walked out.
Eichner.
Sorry, I always get the two of them confused.
Eichner is bald.
Like, I know. But for some reason, Barthel sounds like a bald guy to me. And that's dead serious. Like, that's why I always get confused. I don't know why. But Fabian Eichner just kind of like got fed up with Barthel and walked out back. And basically led into a handicap match. And the Creed brothers went over. It was a decent match for what was televised, because I think there was at least one or two commercials.
Well, the match started in commercial.
Oh, that's right. Because yeah, the Creed brothers just came out right after the opening segment with Bron Breakker and Imperium. The Creed brothers like were coming out as they cut to the first commercial, and then when we came back, they were in the middle of this match that just happened, and it was just made. Because like I want to know what was in that time slot before. What else got bumped? What were we supposed to see there, right? But anyway, it was okay. It was, you know, a good match for what it was. Especially, you know, you look at these two teams on paper. I mean, you know, we've talked about them, you know, at length at this point, on this show. But these two teams are going to give you a good match no matter what at this point. I kind of figured that this was going to play into the reason Gunther lost. Like, you know, one of them turned on him and caused caused interference or something. The only way at this point is that Gunther just, you know, his head wasn't in the game because his boys weren't on his side or something, you know? That's really all I've got to say about this particular match. Anything else on that, Bruce?
I really hope they, you know, follow up on this next week, because it was just very... The walkout angle was just just weirdly timed. And then after the match, Pretty Deadly made their debuts as they attacked the Creed brothers behind with steel chairs. And they have new names now. They're not Sam Stoker and Lewis Howley anymore. I think they said their names were, let me see here, Elton Prince and Kit Wilson. So, but they're still Pretty Deadly, they said. They just have different names now, which, you know, they changed Gunther's name. So it's not surprising, but they didn't change, you know, Zach Gibson and James Drake and a kid's name and some other things. So it's weird how they go about things.
They just pick and choose. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to change your name, but maybe it has something to do with like individual rights. Like, did they use them outside on the Indies?
I can't say now.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
To me, because I think it was confirmed that MSK is defending against the Creed brothers next week. I believe that was the matchup. Yeah. I'm guessing, look, I feel sorry for the Creed brothers. They win a grueling tournament. Then they have to go into a multi-tag match where they also lose. And then they have to beat another tag team again to get their one-on-one tag team match to get their title shot that they were deserved of at by winning the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. But I believe that with Pretty Deadly debuting tonight, that they're definitely going to cost the Creed brothers the match next week, which will then lead into their eventual feud. And those should be some good matches, of course, because of the two teams involved. If you don't know Pretty Deadly, they were the long time UK tag team champions for a while. So a long time for a while. They're redundant, Bruce. But so they're here now, and the tag team division does need some new faces, because I feel like we've been seeing the same three or four tag teams wrestle each other for the last, basically since I started covering the show in January, and that it gets stale. So it's nice to have another infusion of a tag team here with Pretty Deadly. I just, again, a lot of the booking just doesn't, it seems like they skipped so many steps. And so, yeah.
All right, so let's go over to the mailbag here because we do have a couple other emails to read. We'll go to one from David Podnar. This is kind of more of a statement email than question, but he says, so are we assuming that Rick was too close to the NXT parking lot and now he's in a cage backstage? Yes, that's pretty much that parking lot is the most dangerous place in the world. I really do worry about Tom's safety living so close to it sometimes. No,
at least
but,
that was a kayfabe reason, though. He was there to see his son, so it makes sense. It wasn't just like, oh, Rick Steiner just flew in because there was nothing going on. Like, there was the Hall of Fame ceremony. And
that's
stuff.
True.
So I mean, there was at least you could talk yourself into a reason why he would be there in the first place. And why someone like Gacy and Harley would plan something like this to get to, because they're not going to get there by merit alone, of course. So you can talk yourself into why this sort of angle happened. Again, everything there is just...
But what's he going to be doing for the entire week? Is he just tied up in a cage backstage? I think that's where he was going with that.
True. I think what they were trying to imply at the end was they were going to try and torture him, and Braun was going to run to the back and save his dad. I think that's what they were trying to imply when they cut the show off. But because they still had overrun time. The match ended actually only 2 minutes after the hour, and usually they have an 8-minute overrun. So they had some more time.
Yeah, my web player said the same thing. It's like there was an 8-minute overrun, and yeah, they definitely didn't use it. But yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens next week.
He's still in the cage,
right? He also says in the last week between the reunion of Dakota and Raquel and now the dissolution, 3 matches in 4 days for Braun and Imperium imploding. I guess there's so much happening. Not necessarily good, just a lot of things. Keep your heads on straight, Dave Podnar. And then we'll go to the last email of the night here from the other half of your tag team, the Dr. Kevin Catani. Kevin says, salutations, gents. I hope this email finds you well. Whew, tonight was an episode, huh? It was. Yes, it was. I was excited to ponder what Braun vs. Gunther program would look like, but geez, so soon? All right. I know ratings are important, but how do you feel about this speedy transition? On a positive note, I'm excited to see Raquel and Dakota together again, and I hope they don't split them up anytime soon. On a serious note, I saw a series of tweets regarding Nash Carter and some potentially abusive behavior against Kimberly. Did you see all of that? I didn't see any official WWE response from Nash but if true, the behavior concerns and scares me. What do you both make of it? As always, go VIP and listen to 8YB. So with the stuff with Nash Carter, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier in the night. Right now, I don't know. It's just a lot of he said, she said. It seems that it's Wes Lee's wife or significant other had a tweet that said that he's that Nash Carter's staying with them and has been for a while. And there's just a lot of back and forth. I don't know what's actually legit and what's not. So I'm kind of trying to wait and see until there is like an official response from somebody or something happens or like we get told something. Every once in a while that will happen, we'll get told something. I don't really want to make too much more of a comment on that. With Raquel and Dakota together, I'm hoping that they are at least friendly. But I kind of hope that this is hopefully a WWE an NXT title run for Dakota Kai. Braun versus Gunther, we talked about that being so soon. So anything on that, Bruce?
Shouldn't be surprising that we've already covered his topics as he's someone who does co-host sometimes. So it's not going to, so having similar thoughts as we do is definitely something that we understand. We basically touched on everything that he talked about. In regards to the previous email from Dave, there was just no breathing room. And you have to let your fans digest what just happened. And you can't just go boom, boom, boom. This is one of the big criticisms of AEW is that there's just not enough breathing room sometimes. Like a big angle will happen, like Toni Storm, and she wins. And then they just go into another segment, just like that. And, you know, you want to get a lot of things on there, but you also, like, I think one of the reasons I have such a negative opinion about tonight's show is I just didn't have time to kind of formulate my thoughts as I'm watching, because everything was just going so quickly. And not just in terms of the segments and the pacing of them, but the booking. It just, why is it so just random and so hotshot all of a sudden? And so, yes, for what Dave was saying, just so much happening at once. There's just not room to breathe and take everything in as its own individual kind of segment. You kind of just have to try and take everything as it comes. And when you do that, you get overwhelmed.
And as you take things as they come, things also goes. And that kind of brings us to the end of our show. I didn't actually make that up and try to make that rhyme, but it kind of did. Anyway, I'm Nate Lindberg, and you can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I rate the NXT hits and misses, which I'll have up for you guys at some point tomorrow morning. I did not get a chance to finish them before we went live tonight. If you didn't get a chance, do listen to the VIP roundtable that Tom Stope and Kevin Catani and I did after Stand and Deliver. Get some good perspective and things on what happened then. Granted, a lot of things have changed after this show tonight, but if you didn't get a chance to listen, go ahead and give it a shot. Bruce, who are you?
So I am Bruce Lee Hazelwood. I am the all-perspective reporter for NXT 2.0 every Tuesday night, alongside Kelly Supports when he's here. He had a family event tonight, so happy for them and glad they're safe. The last thing I will say about the show is, if you haven't, go and watch Kushida's vignette. This is the Kushida we want and we need, and I'm glad they did that tonight. So make sure you check that out, and you can find me on Twitter at B_Lee253.
All right, guys, until next week, this is PWT Talks NXT, and we'll see you next time.